Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Hey everybody, I'm John Cena.
Hey, it's professional wrestler Colt Boom Boom Cabana.
Hey, I'm Double J, Jeff here.
This is Rich Swann.
Matt Riddle, the King of Rose.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Do it, bro.
Support Ollie. Support Luke. Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Home of Luke Owen. Whatever WrestleTalk is and whoever Luke Owen is. Quote the Raven. Nevermore.
WrestleTalk Rumble. No and live.
Hello and welcome to the WrestleTalk podcast. I am Ollie Davis and I'm joined for the last time. Well, that's kind of true, right?
Yeah.
The last time this decade by Luke Owen.
Hello, Swaff Nation, and a hello to you, Oliver Davis. How the devil are you? You are right. This is our last podcast intro and outro, the pair of us, for this decade. Because the Raw review next week is going to be you and Pete.
Me and Pete on Tuesday. Then there's no Thursday stuff for AEW and NXT. There'll be shows going up and podcasts, but it's
loads
stuff we've already recorded.
Yeah.
Like best 10 of this or...
best 10 of that.
Predictions. And then, of course, there's Saturday with Pete and Andy for the SmackDown show. And then I think it's you and Pete.
It's me and Pete, yeah.
On the New Year's Eve Raw review.
Yep.
You'll get to talk about that Lana and Bobby Lashley wedding.
I know, right? Wow. How exciting.
And then we'll back. Me and you will be back together 2nd of January
for AEW. Yeah. Yeah, man.
Wow.
How exciting. Now, so I'm going to take you through my Christmas playlist.
Okay.
So my family, when we get together for Christmas, this started last year where we get a joint playlist on Spotify. And then we're adding 10 tracks to it, or 12 tracks it's been up to this year. Last year, the theme was Desert Island Discs. So it was like, if you were to go on Desert Island Discs, what would be the tracks you'd pick?
Mm.
This year, it's a bit more general. It's just pick 12 songs you like. And then we've got a separate playlist that's just Christmas songs that we're all adding 5 to each.
You needed to get a better theme.
For this year?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Songs you like?
Yeah, I know.
How's that different to Desert Island Discs?
Well, Desert Island Discs got to have a story behind the ones that you put in.
Oh, it's pretty similar, man.
Yeah, which has really put my wife off. She was like, no, because then I've got to tell stories. Mm. And like that puts too much pressure on the songs that I'm picking. This is where I was like, this
year... it's all going to be
Tay-Tay. So, do you want to hear the songs that I've got on my version of the list?
So none of these have stories. They're just songs you like.
These are just songs that I like. Although I'm going to have to go back onto off airplane mode for a second.
You going
to
play them?
No, but it didn't update the playlist.
Oh, my God.
Let me see if I can... because I was adding stuff while I was...
great audio content.
This is great audio content. Why is this not showing the new version that I've added in stuff to?
Right, well, I'll come up with better rest and entrance music.
Okay.
You should all have done your favourite rest and entrance music.
But my parents aren't into wrestling, which certainly doesn't...
well, it'd be interesting to see what they come back with then.
Hmm. Okay, I've got it now. So I've got... Faith No More, Small Victory, which is my current ringtone. It's my favourite Faith No More song this year.
So you're really going for songs you like as opposed to what's going to play well with the crowd.
Well, I've also...
mum and dad.
I've got some of that as well.
Yeah.
So Small Victory,
that
Faith No More.
You.
It's a nice mellow Faith No More track. Say It Ain't So by Weezer.
Great song.
Never Ever by All Saints.
How did that make it on there?
That's a great song.
Who started singing that recently?
That's a great track.
I know it's a great track. I was telling you how it's in my head.
Yeah, and it was always on my playlist because
really?
Yeah.
Wow. Look at us. Peas in a pod.
Super Organism, Everybody Wants to Be Famous.
Excellent track.
Fleetwood Mac, The Chain.
Your lady partner hates Fleetwood Mac.
But she loves that song. Such a good song. Bon Jovi, Bad Medicine. A track that I still stand by to this day. If Bon Jovi made more songs like that, he'd be good.
It's controversial, man. Wait till we get to the karaoke. And I will always love you. Always.
And I'll be there forever and a day. Always. I'll be there till the stars won't shine and the heavens.
I need the lyrics at that
point. Well, that's been on the Cow playlist so much because my wife's, she loves a bit of Bon Jovi. Mm-hmm. I do now know a lot of those songs. Belinda Carlisle, Heaven is a Place on Earth.
Yeah.
Just a banging track. I'm pretty sure that's been the Wrestle Talk soundtrack for 2018.
Off the back of a Handmaid's Tale episode.
Yeah. So I've gone for a Beatles track. Mm-hmm. Oh, you'll appreciate this. I haven't gone safe.
You've gone obscure.
No, I wouldn't say obscure, but like if you were to put 10, I don't think this would be in those 10.
Ooh.
Revolution.
That's a great song.
It's a great song. Yeah. Rush, Tom Sawyer.
Mm.
Which went down very well in our Spotify group. David Bowie, Space Oddity, because I think it'll annoy my dad. And I love it because it's also really fun to sing. Ground Control to Major Tom.
10.
Ground Control to Major Tom.
8. 7.
Take 6. Your protein pills 5. And put your helmet 4. On.
3.
Ground Control 2. To Major Tom. You're well ahead because you should be about 7.
Yeah.
And lastly, Royal Blood's Figure It Out. I discovered Royal Blood this year and I think they're ace.
I think I might have accidentally stumbled on them at a Glastonbury.
Oh, yeah.
And been like, whoa, that's too loud for me. Point me to Travis.
Why does it always rain on me?
I've gotten horribly lost.
Right, before we get into the main portion of the show, I've got an email here from Matt, which had the tagline of, or the subject heading of, My 2019. It says, "Hi Luke and the rest of the WrestleTalk lads. I'm just emailing in because you guys have become a big part of my life since I became a pledgehammer.
Aww.
I listen to your podcast on Spotify on a regular basis after I've watched the live stream or on demand on YouTube. And I've also sent a lot of mailbags as well. I have to admit, I've had a pretty bad year. It started off me breaking up with my now ex-girlfriend. And I have nothing but guilt since that. Because I think he had to break her heart."
Ooh, never a good scenario. Yeah. I, of course, have done that to many, many women.
And has affected my mental health majorly. I suffer from depression, so it weighs on me even heavier. I crashed my car in August and wrote it off. Oof. And I'm now even dropping university as a lack of money and mental health has become too much to handle alongside a degree. Sorry for the long email. It's really not that long. But I don't know what to do. I tried talking to a GP and I was on antidepressants, but felt like it didn't work. So you guys are my PlayStation, other than being a manager at Weatherspoons, are my only social aspects of life that I have. Thank you for all your content. It gets me through the day when nothing else does. And that's from Matt.
Oh, don't worry, Matt. 2020 is your year.
That's exactly it.
I'm going to post loads of inspirational. I might actually do that on social media. I'll pretend to have had a new gimmick. You know, like Nice Guy Tamatonga?
Yes.
I'll do that, but, you know, I'll put loads of Minions inspirational memes.
So you're going to be like the worst side of John Cena's current gimmick.
But that's terrible, Matt. I'm sorry you had to go through all that this year.
Yeah.
And just remember, we are the only solution.
Yes.
I feel like Dark Order. Join. SWAF Squad Goals. SWAF Squad Goals.
Well, we're sort of going to talk about that in this show, because we've already recorded the show as a change of pace, where we felt like that AEW is now feeling like the Dark Order, where they're saying to mid-carders in WWE, it's like, hey, are you being underappreciated in your own company?
We should make a mock advert.
Yes.
Oh, that's a good idea, which will probably lose steam in 2 weeks' time because we're all off.
Yep. Anyway, let's dive into the show itself where you can hear about us having that conversation. Enjoy the show.
There has been news in the latest Wrestling Observer newsletter. This is the quote. The Revival only has a few months left on their contracts and haven't agreed to a new deal after attempting to get a release months ago. We all know this. Revival often tease how they want to leave WWE. They had a great time in NXT. They were called up to the main roster. And they were never treated as well as they were in developmental.
I think the problem was they got injured right off the bat. And that sort of thing puts a stink on you. Just look at Finn Balor.
Like, totally.
Like, that puts a stink on you that you will never get rid of. You just become, oh, you're injury prone. Well, let's not give you a push then because we can't rely on you to not be injured.
And it doubled up because it was like a hot tag of injuries.
Yeah.
I think Scott Dawson had a jaw thing.
Jaw thing. It was like his jaw wired shut.
He comes back after 6 weeks and then Dash Wilder tears a bicep, I think it was.
It's something along those lines. Maybe the other way around. But either way. The pair of them got injured in their first 18 months of being on the main roster.
Plus, there's also the fact that the main roster just doesn't care about tag team wrestling to the extent that NXT does. They'll go through a couple of months where they go, hey, tag team wrestling, but then it'll disappear and be pre-show nonsense for 6 months after that. Whereas on NXT, takeovers and stuff, they were really prominently featured.
Yeah.
You know, main eventing takeovers sometimes.
And it was quite clear that the Revival weren't particularly happy with their position in the company. They were made to do lots of goofy nonsense with the Usos. And then when all the reports came out that they had asked for their release, the very first thing the company did was give them the tag titles as a way to be like, oh, please stay because we're trying to offer you new contracts. And then when they didn't sign those new contracts, they were given the tag titles again. But the reason why you can tell that was done as a way to appease someone as opposed to being done for creative reasons is that they didn't do anything with those tag titles after they won them. They won them from New Day at like Night of Champions or something and then barely appeared on TV and then just lost them right back to the New Day.
Yeah. Sorry if I looked distracted there. I was just trying to find the full quote because we've got that little bit there. The proposed idea is to do a spoof of the Fabulous Ones, which, funnily enough, is actually the original Fargo's heel gimmick in the late 50s. I don't know what any of those words are.
It's just beautiful Dave Meltzer being Dave Meltzer, being like, actually, in the 1950s.
But the larger story here is another bit of the Wrestling Observer newsletter. The booking plan on SmackDown is to turn the Revival into comedy characters. There are mixed feelings on this for obvious reasons, and it still may get shot down. But the deal where Wilder tripped and fell during the ring entrance was supposed to be the start of it.
Oh, so it was done on purpose.
Well, so this happened on last week's episode of SmackDown, the Revival are making their entrance, and hilariously, Dash Wilder, you know, he always starts with his back to the crowd, and then he turns around and walks forward. When he does so, he trips over, brilliantly, a bit of the stage, bit of the entranceway, and just sits on his butt and does that.
And Scott Dawson, brilliantly, turns around to see what happens. I'd be like, huh. What went down?
It looked so genuine.
Yeah.
To me, I'm surprised that's staged. And they played it up at TLC.
I don't think it was staged. Mm. I think this is more, maybe this is wires getting crossed in the story being told to Meltzer. I think he did fall down on accident. And it is now being turned to gimmick, a lot like Titus World Slide, where it's like, it wasn't planned for him to fall down during the Greatest Royal Rumble. But, oh, you better believe it becomes part of your character now. It's the R-Truth thing. R-Truth's whole deal that he is stupid stems from the fact he got a promo wrong 10 years ago on an episode of Raw. And they were like, okay, well, that's now your character. You're thick, mate.
Well, he's done it very well.
He's very good at it.
But it's just the Revival have been... They've had a weird time because their contracts are reportedly up in April. It looks very clear that they're going to AEW. And WWE have done a few different tacts over this year on people that might go there. Of course, they let Goldust and Sean Spears go, the former Ty Dillinger. They just let them go. I think Vince McMahon reckons that was a mistake because they then showed up in AEW and were booked so much better than they ever were on the main roster.
But they haven't been like proven to be draws. It's like the Christian thing. Like they let Christian go because they were like, well, what's TNA going to do with him? It's not like he's going to be a proven ratings draw. And so Christian went across and he was pushed to the moon. Christian was undefeated in TNA for 2.5 years, even though he was world champion like 3 times in all of that. which is, yeah, but it was like never pinned, never submissive was his gimmick. And but he was never like a ratings bump. Kurt Angle was never really a big ratings bump for TNA.
What was a pay-per-view bump?
On the one occasion when they booked a feud with him and Samoa Joe really well. Mm. But Sting was never a big ratings bump for them. RVD was never a big ratings bump for them. So I think Vince looked at someone like Ty Dillinger and Goldust and was like, well, I mean, we can let them go because it's not like they're going to make a difference.
And, well, I think, but creatively, it was a bit of a... It was a show to the rest of the WWE locker room. Hey, do you feel like you're being underutilized or that the management don't see any value in it anymore?
You're saying that AEW, like the Dark Order's promos.
Yeah, yeah, essentially. Yeah, they've incepted them. And I don't think it's unrelated that after those two releases, WWE went into lockdown.
Oh, yeah.
They didn't release anyone until, well, this month, with despite a lot of people publicly requesting it.
And Jordan Miles.
So yeah, that was... You know,
for various different reasons.
So that you had that example there where they were just let go. Then the next example is John Moxley, Dean Ambrose, where, you know, he said, I'm not renewing my contract for the Royal Rumble. And they did start to book him in a comedy feud. They were going to put him in a feud with Nia Jax.
Yeah.
And they booked him to lose to EC3. That I mean, as they should do, I think, you know, wrestlers on the way out of a company should put over the next crop of stars. That's the way it's always been done, and that's the way the industry grows and gets better. But WWE went back on that because they saw the fans turning against it and actually gave Ambrose a really good last 2 months of booking.
From my personal standpoint on this, I believe that WWE thought that he'd change his mind.
Yeah.
I think they, in their minds, they were like, well, if we treat him like a hero, he'll stay. He'll see how much we love and appreciate him, and he will sign the contract that we've put in front of him.
Well, remember the reports at the time. They were saying, oh, yeah, it looks like Dean's going to take some time off.
Yeah.
He's going to take a year off, and then we expect him to be back. That was apparently the backstage feeling in WWE, which is so out of touch, considering what happened the second his contract officially expired. Yeah. He put up that promo video saying he's effectively going to AEW.
Yeah, still unsure about the symbolism of that video.
It was subtle stuff. We really had to look into it hard. But that's like another example of Vince. You've got to look at it through Vince's lens. He's either letting people go or he's making someone look good before they go. Luke Harper technically looked pretty good. If you just take the last time he was really on WWE TV, he was with Rowan. He was getting huge superstar reactions.
But he was in that feud to be the fall guy.
Yes, but it didn't really work. It's not like they took him, put him out there and made him job.
No,
or made him look stupid. I think we're going to see a lot more of this with the revival.
Yeah, I think they've been burned by the Ambrose situation.
Yeah.
Where they were like, well, we gave him the big heroes thing and he still gave us the middle finger and left. So yeah, let's go back to the way that it's always worked, which is make the guy leaving look as dumb as possible, because then it really depletes all of their superstar potential when they go to the competition.
Yeah, it's like it's essentially like in the Iraq War when the retreating Iraqi guard burn all the oil fields. That's what they're doing. Weird analogy.
Well, very weird analogy
into my head. But there's loads of other examples. It's like, but it's also like no one is safe.
No.
Because you can agree and re-sign with the company. Long-term deals. Look at Mike Kanellis. Look at Gallows and Anderson, where you get a bit of a push, but then in Gallows and Anderson's case, weren't really, you know, they've just become AJ seconds as opposed to a featured tag team act, I would argue. Although, you know, they are fighting over the Raw tag team titles, but who cares?
Mm-hmm.
And Mike Kanellis, within a week, was getting humiliated with no payoff, which is the real annoying thing about it. And he's said that in interviews himself and has since asked for his release.
Again.
Again. Probably again, yeah, right now. Yeah. After re-signing his 5-year deal.
Yeah. And there's been a lot of cases this year of the hashtag 3-week push, where it's like, hey, we're going to push this new guy, but we're not really going to fully get behind them. And then when they don't get over, be like, oh, well, they didn't get over.
Mm.
Yeah, I didn't think they'd get over, so that push can end now. Like, where's Cedric these days?
Yeah.
Like, Cedric at one point was tagging with Roman Reigns against Shane McMahon and Drew McIntyre. Like, that was meant to be the big thing. And then he was feuding with AJ Styles. And then he gets to that pay-per-view, and he is destroyed from pillar to post, beaten in seconds, and then it's like, and you're done.
Mm.
And that's it.
Humberto Carrillo had a featured match against Seth Rollins on Raw and looked really good in it. But again, it's that weirdly an AJ brick wall that people keep hitting,
yeah.
Where that AJ just beats them again and again and again because he's the champ. Well, was the champion at the time. So
it's the various stop-start pushes.
What's another interesting example? The Revival, I think, are going to be quite clearly the obvious ones. It would be really interesting to watch SmackDown tonight, see how much the comedy character Burial is doubled down on. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, it could just be Burial and comedy characters aren't the same thing.
Yeah.
But I would speculate that they're being made. I mean, it happened earlier this year with the Usos, the shaving of the back.
Yeah.
When the Usos played all those rubbish pranks on them.
Usy Hot.
Mm. But the other example, and this is Bubba Ray Dudley's opinion. He mm-hmm. was speaking on Busted Open Radio. That Matt Hardy is being punished for Jeff Hardy's actions.
Yeah. Yeah, his quote here is that he talks about how they always try to make Jeff the single star. He says, okay, so here's the quote. They make Jeff a single star. We've seen it before. We saw it in WWE. We've seen it today. He becomes a champion. He becomes a star. They start pushing the hell out of Jeff. Matt just falls down the ladder completely. It almost seems like they take out their frustrations on Matt for whatever Jeff may be doing wrong. Any mistake that Jeff Hardy has made, anyone could make in one time or another. And that's why he would, and that's why people would gang up on people like, I don't know what he's on about here. Effectively saying, yeah, Jeff gets in trouble and Matt takes the punishment for it.
And I could totally see that looking at from the outside. Bubba Ray, of course, has worked very closely with the Hardys over the years.
Mm-hmm.
I think it can also be explained as WWE just don't get Matt Hardy and they don't see him as
and
a draw.
And they never have.
But he
look,
is...
I mean, sorry to cut you off there, but look at the Edge thing.
Hmm.
Like in 2005, there was no one hotter than Matt Hardy because everyone saw him as the victim in the love triangle, the real life love triangle. But when they brought him back and they eventually convinced him to come back to do this shoot feud with Edge, Edge was always the one that was like, oh, no, but Edge is winning the whole thing and you're just going to go back to being a mid-card nothing.
Yeah. But yeah, it's Matt Hardy is another example of someone whose contract is up very soon.
February.
So, and you're already seeing him coming out in this weird late 90s, early noughties attire and being beaten quite routinely. And that's, you know, that's probably the best use of it. He's a good name.
Yeah, the established
to give
name.
New people wins. But it'll be interesting to see with him as well if it's they start to actively depreciate his value and make fun of him on air.
Mm.
Yeah.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term medical plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, United Healthcare Tri-Term medical plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
If you're wondering to yourself what the heckins is a crap gimmick, well, that's a segment we do here each and every Friday on the Wrestle Talk Not Live magazine show, where you, the SWAF Nation, send to us your crap gimmick wrestling submissions, and then we, the bookers, nay, promoters of crap gimmick wrestling, review them and decide whether or not we want to sign them to our promotion. Crap gimmick, we like to think of as you're the 90s equivalent of you are a wrestler and a blank. And sometimes bit more abstract. Let's see what we've got in this week's submissions. James Dillon has suggested Shuck Tassel.
Shuck Tassel. I'm already into the name.
Shuck Tassel was a competitive buttered corn eater until he swallowed a cob whole and was forced to retire. Weighing almost 360 pounds, Shuck made the natural transition into professional wrestling. Mm. After a few practice matches, Shuck noticed his sweat was extremely slippery, almost like he was coated in butter. He could not pick up any opponents, so slaps and kicks are his main offense. One advantage Shuck has, his opponents cannot lock submissions on him since he easily slips his way out. Wrestling under the name The Butter Tormentor, Shuck is now a glistening powerhouse that is almost unbeatable in the local wrestling scene. His slippery sweat makes him rather impossible to wrestle since no opponent can get a firm grip on him. Even pinning situations prove challenging since everyone just slides off The Butter Tormentor's chest. His finishing move can be a blessing and a curse on whoever is receiving the end of it. Known as the Cob Popper, it starts with a big boot to the belly button, that's as high as his kicks can get, but as the opponent is laying down in pain, the Butter Tormentor comes off the ropes, quadrupling his speed before delivering a splash to the back of his opponent. The downside of this finisher is if the Butter Tormentor gains too much speed coming off the ropes, he will land on the opponent with too much gusto, slide straight off and out of the ring.
Wow.
Thoughts.
That is, yeah, I mean, it's one of those things that's very well thought out. You've put, you know, it's an idea. It is an idea.
I do like this idea of this sort of like lore that he swallowed a whole buttery corn cob whole, and that has changed his metabolism.
It's a thyroid problem, it sounds like.
Yeah, it's completely changed like his innards and the way that his body. It sounds like a Cronenberg nightmare. Like a rejected Stephen King novel.
Yeah, it's the origin story.
Yeah.
But not for like a superhero. It's kind of like one of those rubbish superheroes or dark superheroes. When you started talking about his offense, I thought baseball slides would come into it a bit more.
Mm-hmm.
What other slidey moves are there?
People's elbow. Do you remember that one where he did it in dress shoes?
Oh, the best people's elbow ever. Yeah, I don't think it's a... I really appreciate the effort. I'm not sure... It's the politest way to say this. Just think the idea is a bit weird. But not weird, yeah.
Well, let's see, because
let's
we may
see
have...
Others.
Yeah. So this one comes in from Meng, who says, "Hi, Luke, Ollie, Laurie, that guy from Screenstalker, and certainly not Randy. I'm Meng, Pod Swafter from Thailand.
Hi.
You may remember me from the last time I suggested the 2MB. Well, I'm glad they got signed, either because they are crap or you thought I might be Haku. I'm clearly not, but I hope you like this crap gimmick as well.
Let's give it a go.
Should have stuck with the fact that you're actually Haku.
Yeah, we'll sign anything and agree to anything you send us because he's terrifying.
Meng has suggested Friedrich the Übermensch.
Übermensch.
Friedrich is a German big muscular man with a body shape and mustache that every man in the 80s wanted to have. Despite his great shape, he always comes out wearing long pants, short sleeve shirts, and a Bluetooth headset plugged into his ear. He walks to the ring, always on his phone, then suddenly stops, looks up and asks the crowd, "Who called the Uber?" He should be a heel that comes out to interrupt people if they have called an Uber. When they start feuding, he would never listen to what his opponents have to say and just keep yelling, "Just tell me where you want to go," or "Get out of my car." In the match, he will often check his phone and sometimes roll out of the ring to take a phone call, come back to the ring and ask his opponents, "Where are you going again?" His signature move is the Michinoku Driver, which is called the Uber Driver, and his finisher is a running Samoan drop called Passenger Delivered. Thanks for your consistent work. Good luck with both WrestleTalk and Screenstalker.
I didn't see that coming. I thought German guy, yep. Ubermensch.
It's such a good twist.
I thought it was going to be a sort of...
Alex Wright.
Yeah, party boy style gimmick. So as soon, but the Bluetooth headset, I'm like, okay, is it an updated version? But as soon as he said about who ordered the Uber, yeah. I was like, but of course. And that's like, I've not seen that done. That is, like, that's a perfect blend of a sort of observational comedy character that's current. Because I feel like I've met this guy, mm-hmm. but we're just putting him in a wrestling environment.
And he's this big, huge, muscular man yeah. as well with the mustache.
He could, I mean, look, I very much like this. I'm into it. And there's loads of potential. He drives to the ring.
Yeah.
Like Alberto Del Rio.
Yeah.
But he should also drive his opponent to the ring.
Nice, yeah, and drop them off for the match.
Drop them off, and then he gets out and says, I'm your driver. I'm not just your driver.
The only thing missing from this is a 5-star gag. Like the 5-star Dave Meltzer.
Oh, you get to rate the matches afterwards.
There it is.
He can play like the opponent can put his own music on for the entrance. Gives him a bottle of water after, like if it's a really good match.
Yeah.
This is good. If you said that someone's going to suggest an Uber driver gimmick, I don't think it's going to work.
It really didn't work for Stuber.
But it's... But it's just, and that has a wrestler in.
It does. And Camille Nunziani is hilarious.
But it's the use of calling him the Ubermensch, making him German. Brilliant. Really like that.
Well,
thank you, Meng.
Chris Jenkins.
What a record for Meng.
I know, right? Well, Chris Jenkins has got a tough act to follow here. Let's see how it goes on.
Jenkins, the maker of the hammer. Let's see that hammer down there.
Yep.
Oh, it's, there we go.
Chris Jenkins says, hello everyone, love the show. Storm Warning is a tag team that consists of Lightning, a 6'6", 380 pounds, overweight yet very agile wrestler with a great big bushy beard. Think Earthquake with Kevin Owens' agility.
The natural disasters, yes.
He loves to fly high and flip around the ring. And his tag partner is Thunder, a 5'2", 180-pound, jacked, impossibly strong luchador. Think Kalisto with Cesaro amounts of strength. He is the slow-moving powerhouse that loves to show off his raw strength. Imagine him no-selling a shoulder tackle from someone twice his side.
Ishii.
Their signature move is the Thunderclap. Thunder and Lightning both stand in the ring and ramp up the crowd by making swirling arm motions like Bobby Roode to deliver a simultaneous clap from halfway across the ring, sending their opponents through the rope and out of the ring like they have a big blow of the high winds. But their actual finisher is the Lightning Bolt. Lightning lifts their opponent into an airplane spin, tosses them to Thunder, who catches said opponent midair to transition into a Razor's Edge. And they come out to Eye of the Storm by Bullet for My Valentine.
There's
a bit of punnage here. Things may be calm right now, but there's a storm coming, and Thunder and Lightning are going to rain down on CGW. All hail the future champions.
That's good. Any other week, I'd be really into that. And we love you, Jenkins.
Leroy Jenkins!
But, man, you put the sort of move set, the entrance music, that promo work there, the looks. I really, I've got Heavy Machinery in my head as to cast, but it's the Ubermensch.
Humble Shaker! Okay, I went off the rails there. If you want to submit a question to the mailbag, all you've got to do is become one of our awesome pledge hammers on Patreon and leave a comment in the community section labeled mailbag. Do not email me, I will lose it, I'm bad at my job. This one comes in from Lorenzo Haynes, who says, to Luke, I think I heard you say in a previous video that you don't eat meat. What made you stop eating meat? How long has it been? It's been over a year now. October, November 2018 was when I became vegetarian.
Yeah, but after claiming that you were 80% vegetarian.
80% vegan, so I was claiming. Just a ludicrous
claim. Even worse.
But yeah, it was more like my wife's vegan, so I don't eat meat at home. I was only really eating meat when I went to my parents' house like for dinner or anything. And I realized that I don't really like need this to complete a meal. And I was quite enjoying the food that we were eating. Plus, I walked into my local supermarket and saw the amount of meat that was there. That was so cheap. And it just scared me a little bit because I'm like, wow, this is like one shop of thousands in this country. And this is just one packet of meat of millions in this country on a daily basis. That's quite scary.
Hot take. A very hot take for climate change reasons.
Yeah.
Can't last.
You can't
last. Just, it's not going to last. Let's be realistic. Start changing the behaviour now. Not to like stop anything, but just because it won't be there forever, it's best to adapt now.
But he's also got a follow-up question to you specifically.
Ooh.
I was the one, forever young, who said Pete's reaction to Keith Lee getting his moment was negative in the SummerSlam live stream, or Survivor Series live stream, rather. Mm. I was completely kidding. That's why I say I would have loved to have seen Luke's reaction instead. It was supposed to be a play on how people always call Luke negative. I was calling someone negative and requesting for Luke. I guess it was just a joke that fell flat, but I really felt bad after I watched the stream. So please let Pete know. Great job on the channel, everyone.
Oh, we will do, yeah. It's very difficult to read people's comments, which are sarcastic and, yeah, you know, generally quite ironic and witty. But when we're, you know, we read a lot of comments and we try and reply to a load of them as well. So you can't, a lot of them just come across as literal, and a lot of that nuance is lost. Even if there's a crying with laughter face emoji,
yeah,
like even then it just looks like you're laughing at us. But thanks for clearing that up.
I can't remember the exact wording of it, but there was a live stream that you and I did where someone sent us a message that was sort of like very negative about us. But we read it as a joke because it was like, that we thought, there's no way someone's being serious when they say this. So we just sort of burst into laughter about it, being like, oh, that's a really funny joke.
Mm.
And then he messaged us back, we're like, no, I'm very serious.
Yeah. Yeah, so like, we can't win.
Can't win. Jesse Long, let me run this fantasy scenario by your brains, if you'll indulge me for a moment. Keith Lee is a surprise Rumble entrant as a member of the NXT roster. Lee wins the Rumble, stays a member of the NXT roster,
yes,
beats Brock Lesnar for the WWE title at Mania, still as a member of the NXT roster, doesn't move up until after Mania. Thanks for the always wonderful content, the American dad-ass Jesse Long.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, people might say, oh, it's too soon. I mean, that's how you make a star.
Mm.
I would not object to that in the slightest.
Someone said that about The Shield when they debuted. Yeah. Well, it's a bit soon to be putting them in the ring with John Cena.
Yeah.
Chris Thorne said, if you could choose one dynamic and insert it into each storyline or match, what would it be?
Ladders.
For example, I want to see Moxley versus Jimmy Havoc, but rather than go through a typical deathmatch, they're just hitting brutal moves on each other. Save the deathmatch for later on. And it just increases the hype.
Yeah.
P.S. Can I plug my Undisputed Era Fitbit watch face I made? It's on Fitface, and I'm making an animated Firefly Funhouse watch next. I'll have a few puppets moving akin to the intro of the show. If you type into Reddit on Squared Circle, you can see my post with a link. All feedback is welcome.
I'll go check that out. That sounds really cool. I guess that's sort of the digital watch faces, and you can have custom wallpapers, they still call it that?
I don't know.
Watch faces, yeah.
Ket says, what's up, Wrestle Talk? How do you feel about the tables match? I like the match type, but the way you win, I'm not a fan of. You just put your opponent through a table. This means you only get to see one table spot. I get the tension part of it, but I still think it's lame. I'd like it if it was a pinfall or submission only. What do you guys think?
Well, I would usually agree with you, but we watched TLC 2011 over the last couple of weeks. Go over to, you know, well, you're a Pledgehammer on Patreon. You've hopefully seen or listen to our exclusive podcast review of that show. And it has a really well-structured Randy Orton versus Wade Barrett tables match.
It's a great match, yeah.
With that really, really good, somehow not that contrived, Barrett second rope splash, Orton jumps up, puts him through the table with an RKO. So yeah, I do understand it's not like the smoothest gimmick, and it's definitely not a blow-off match.
Mm.
It's the sort of interim step. But if that's what the story's based around. I mean, stuff like Rusev and Lashley, that makes sense because of the symbolic of a divorce hearing. But yeah, the table matches don't often work for me because is the table going to break? I feel like there's a 20% chance that it's not going to happen.
I think I've always got I think it's a nostalgia thing for me. Like when you and I were sort of like growing up watching wrestling, tables matches were like a really big deal. And it was like, oh my God, they're going to be in a tables match.
All stipulations were.
Yeah. And it was like, wow, like I can't wait to see a tables match between these two people or these two teams. So I think I've always got that sort of like pang of nostalgia for it, being like, oh man, Royal Rumble 2000s, Hardy's Dudleys.
I'm always a ladder match man.
Flame Inc. Live, Vince McMahon and Tony Khan tasks you to remake National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation using their wrestlers. Who plays who in the movie? But Clark Griswold's boss must be Vince or Tony himself.
That's good.
Good luck and Merry Christmas.
So, well, I can't remember names, but Uncle should be Otis.
Yes, that's a great shout. I nearly said the line there, but it's a swear word. S words full.
Who would be Chevy Chase?
Who's going to be Griswold?
Because it's not, like, that's one of Gris... it's one of Chase's more restrained performances because he's not like an egomaniac there. He's trying to do good.
He's just a bit of a loose, not loose cannon. He's just a bit. Yeah.
He's the prototype Will Ferrell character that Ferrell would go on to play in a lot of movies.
It's tough.
We'll come back to it. And any other characters? The wife?
Yeah.
They're both just nice.
I was going to say, within National Lampoon's Pity and Christmas Vacation, it's just Griswold, his brother, and, Murray, not Bill Murray, his brother, F. Abraham Murray. So those are the three that you're looking to really focus on. One of those is already cast for you. And we've already put Otis in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Reese, hello, lovely time with the lovely boys. I've noticed for a few months now that you've been commented on how Roman is finally clicking and that his booking has changed for the better. I'm curious what makes you think this, as from where I'm sitting, the booking is nearly identical to what it was before Joe Anoa'i had to take time out to beat cancer. Since his return, he was shoehorned into a Mania match, which he won, was the reason both in and out of kayfabe world for the wildcard rule, has had multiple feuds where it only seems he can lose if the odds are heavily against him, Shane with the Minions, the Totally Not Bludgeon Brothers, and most recently TLC, and always seems to be presented as the most important thing on the show, regularly main eventing SmackDown or having higher build matches for the title, which while he hasn't challenged for, doesn't really matter again as it's been treated as below him. Heck, the most damning thing in this past year was, despite KO and Becky being booked to have apologies for the McMahons, Roman never did, despite crossing paths with both Vince and Shane. So what's changed? Is it just the title thing? Just the absence of a few months making the heart grow fonder? Respect for Joe overcoming cancer? Sorry if this comes across as ranty, just generally curious.
Oh no, it didn't come across as ranty at all, Reese.
It's a great question.
Yeah, you're right. The booking has not changed. They were always very good at babyface booking of Roman. That's why a portion of the crowd always cheered him.
Yeah.
Because... even before the whole leukemia thing, there'd be such brilliantly structured matches where he'd have to come from behind, he'd be against all odds. And we said at the time, if this was anyone else, if this was Kevin Owens, it would be amazing.
Yeah.
But the problem was Roman's character at the time. It just didn't connect with people. And I would argue was pretty two-dimensional. But I think it is, yeah. I think it's... A little bit of depth, well, a lot of depth, seeped through when he said, I'm Joe Anoa'i and I've got leukemia. And all of a sudden, that guy we've been, hating on for years for being overpushed was no longer just a character and a symbol of WWE's bad choices. It was a guy. And, yeah, I think they should have pushed him harder. I think he should have been winning the title after coming back.
Yeah, I think him being away from the title has really helped this cause. It's a bit like they're pushing John Cena too much down our throat. Oh, well, CM Punk's champion for a year. All of a sudden, John Cena doesn't feel... even though he actually was. He was still the main event of every show. He was still the one who was leading into the match with The Rock. Punk was a complete afterthought.
I still didn't like Cena at that time.
No, but we... you compare the people hating Cena in 2011 compared to when people hated him in 2007. Like, that was where he was just, the champion all the time and always on top. It's just ridiculous that in 2011, he was still always on top. But because Punk was champion, we almost forgave it ever so slightly. And I think because we had Kofi as champion, we almost forgave that Roman was the guy that was actually the push star. Frank Botello asks, this question was asked to the Cultaholic lads. I don't know who they are. And I wanted to get your opinion on this. If Twitter was a thing in the Attitude Era, who do you think would be great at it, like Becky Lynch, and who would be bad at it, like Seth? I feel like Kurt Angle would have so much fun with Twitter during the Triple H feud, and I think that Goldberg, although he's professional now, would be very hot-headed online. He'd be awful at it. Yeah. Goldberg would have been very bad at it.
I don't think it would have been good for a lot of people. Because a lot of them were drinking and... partying and Nash. Doing a lot of stuff like that.
You can imagine Nash and Hall.
Exactly. I think there would be so many scandals. It's like when Twitter was first becoming a big thing in wrestling, and an occasional scandal or DUI or something would break, everyone would say, man, I know it's bad now, but imagine if Twitter was around in the Attitude Era, or even worse, the 80s, when the business was even more toxic. So I think actually it would be very damaging for a lot of people. So obviously the best person you would think, I guess, is The Rock, Dwayne Johnson. But he's so genuine. I don't know if... You know how like some people are, I'm a bad guy on TV, but I'm Dwayne Johnson on Twitter. I'll reply to mm-hmm. people. I'll say massive respect to this guy who helped me out in the business. I think that will work as a detriment to how cool The Rock was.
I completely agree with you. Yeah.
So I don't think... I think most people would have been bad. I can't think of a single person.
Maybe Foley?
But even then, I don't want to know Foley's thoughts. But part of the reason a lot of those Attitude Era guys worked is because the presentation was controlled, mm-hmm. essentially. As soon as they start getting on Twitter and stuff, it does take away a bit of the star power.
Austin Tussey says, ending 2009, coming into the new decade, the champions were Sheamus as WWE champion, Undertaker as world heavyweight champion, Miz as US champion, Drew McIntyre as the Intercontinental champion, Shawn Michaels and Triple H as the tag champs, Melina as the Divas champ, and the women's champ was Michelle. They still have two titles then. My question is, do you think our current set of champs going into the new decade are better than the ones we had last decade?
Yes.
Well, yeah, I mean, DX aren't tag champs, so yeah. I'm going to say yes.
Yeah. US champion is Rey Mysterio right now, and it was just AJ Styles. I love The Miz, but, you know. Intercontinental
is
Shinsuke Nakamura.
It's just a shame that they don't give him anything to do.
Undertaker, yeah. But, you know, we've kind of got Bray Wyatt Fiend, which is, although the matches suck, what a compelling character. Undertaker was having much, much better matches at that point in his career. Sheamus... I love Sheamus, but, you know, Brock Lesnar is definitely a bigger draw for all his faults. And it's not even from a work rate. You know, we're in a work rate era. Nakamura, for instance. I think they're better characters mm-hmm. overall. Drew McIntyre now compared to Drew McIntyre in 2009 has so much more depth.
Completely. Simon Gange says, as a new pledge hammer, I've been looking through the content that's become available to me, and I was wondering, whatever happened to the plans for the bi-weekly WrestleTalk Mastermind Quiz Show? Has it been scrapped, or is it just on the back burner?
It's one of those things, we're in pilot season, and that was your idea. Yeah. I think it's a great idea. Still want to do it eventually. But it was, I mean, that was very labor resource
heavy. It really was, yeah. It took us a long time.
And really, it doesn't, what we're thinking about doing with WrestleTalk is not making it that sort of stuff so much anymore. It'll be news and reviews, but then we'll start a second channel. It's an exclusive. Mm-hmm. Start a second channel offshoot for the other stuff, like the music video punishments. We can do stuff like Screen Grapple again without annoying the people who just subscribe for news and reviews.
Yeah, we think we've essentially bogged down all the content with stuff that people didn't want to come to our channel for. So the idea would be to have a second place that people who do want that can just go over there and the other people do not get annoyed and complain.
And I imagine if you're still watching this video at this point, you're one of those people.
Yeah. Callum says, hey, what's up, WrestleTalk gang?
What's up?
My question to you guys has nothing to do with wrestling. Is there any TV series that you recommend to watch? Don't choose Breaking Bad. I've obviously seen that.
Obviously. Yeah. Succession is fantastic. I'm guessing you want a serious one. I mean, Rick and Morty. Everyone's seen that. What about you?
Good Place, I'm always going to recommend. Yep. If you're after, like, so this is... me and my wife have recently just got back into the wonderful melodrama of How to Get Away with Murder. It's a show that, like, in its first series, you're like, oh, wow, this is actually quite good, and I'm really, really intrigued by it. We're now in, like, season 4 and 5, and it's just so wacky and ludicrous. I'm like, I'm still sticking with it because I'm loving the melodrama here.
That's
still played very straight.
You tolerate and get a kick out of crappy things more than I do sometimes. Mindhunter is great on Netflix too.
It's too serious.
It's so slow.
It's actual proper telly.
It's so slow.
Drew Porter, I was listening to the TLC predictions and I heard my question read out on the bus, so I started celebrating. Everyone thought I was weird. But to answer my question, which is, if AEW, WWE, and Impact Wrestling were to have an all-out war, who would get the most support from fans and who would be able to put on the best weekly shows and pay-per-views, who would win to add if all companies were putting in their all and were able to fight with each other, a.k.a. Rusev would fight Luchasaurus and Michael Elgin? So which company would win? P.S. I'm dyslexic, so sorry for any mistakes. Yours sincerely, Drew Porter.
There's hardly any mistakes.
No, it's just trying to understand what the question is, I think. It's not mistakes in the question itself.
I think Drew just wants to fantasy book a big all-out war. It's, you know, who would win? From a backstage political perspective, no one, really, because no one would want their guys to lose to the other one. Who would get most support from the fans is interesting. WWE,
yeah,
I think, because they've got the largest fan base. And, you know, going by the last week, if they decide to put an NXT-style product on, WWE will put on the best product overall.
Yeah. Will hates getting his bold 2020 predictions in. Andrade and McIntyre will be both WWE and Universal Champion in the year.
Whoa.
Side note, Ollie, you remind me of my cousin Killian from Cork County.
I know what he's talking about.
He liked to do somersaults in the forest. One day he ran to a tree and ended up with his head up his arse.
Yeah, cheers, Will. It's a Sheamus promo from TLC 2011.
And you said that all of his promos were, you remind me of blank from County Blank.
Yeah.
And here is a story about them that ends with something up the arse.
Mm-hmm. Oh, like many of my stories.
Yeah, Chop it, JJ. Hello, Squaff Nation and the Wrestle Talk crew. Before I ask my question, I just want to say thank you very much, everyone working so hard at Wrestle Talk. It's been another great year, and I'm very thankful for the content you provided. Have yourself a very, very Merry Christmas and New Year.
You too, Jobber JJ. He's really come through the Squaff Nation ranks.
Indeed, yeah. My question is, why does NXT have title matches almost every single week on TV? Here's to another great year of Wrestle Talk content and great moments on live streams. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you.
It's three letters, AEW.
Yeah.
That is it.
They're trying to beat AEW in the ratings.
Yeah. So they're just like, we'll just put on takeover cards every week.
It's interesting how long they'll be able to maintain that, because they're doing very well so far. And, you know, it's a marathon, not a sprint. And in this particular marathon, NXT are ahead right now.
Mm-hmm.
After, you know, they put in two wins and AEW... No, they drew... So so the last month NXT has been on top.
Absolutely, the Survivor Series thing it was such a smart move.
That's the turning point.
Yeah,
TNA turning point. But yeah, but is it hot shotting? Is it good booking, or in retrospect, will it be burnout?
Well, that's what I was going to say. When you say it's a marathon, not a sprint, I think that NXT are currently sprinting.
Mm.
And there's only so far you can sprint for. And lastly from Sean Dunn, Merry Christmas, Wrestle Talk team, patrons and wrestling community. No question, just have a Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you too. Usually we would stop there, but last week... For TLC,
mm-hmm.
we did a song.
Yes, we did.
Do you want to do a Christmas song?
Oh, yeah, let's do a Christmas song.
What Christmas song do you want to do?
We don't want to, because we're going to do this on the Christmas episode as well. And I was going to suggest doing Step Into Christmas there, because that's a belting tune.
How long is it?
I was going to say do that for the Christmas show, but okay. We could do...
Live Aid?
Yeah, let's do Live Aid. Do they okay, hit the Bono notes?
This is our last full day in the office with everyone. There'll be people.
I mean, bearing in mind, you need to, because you've just got Queen at Live Aid, you need to search for Do They Know It's Christmas?
Do they know? Well, tonight, thank God it's them.
It's my favorite Bono line. Thank God it's them, not me.
Yeah. this is our last full day with everyone in the office. It's our Christmas party later.
Are you putting it on mute?
No, it was just for this intro.
Oh, sorry. Right. It's going to make karaoke very difficult.
So we won't really get we'll have the Christmas Day special, but, you know, I guess everyone's going home for the weekend now. They might have this on in the car to go back to their families.
Driving home for Christmas.
And here's us to, you know, you're driving. You can't change... the podcast.
No.
You're going to have to pull over to skip this, or don't cause an accident.
I think
turn off the radio.
I think I cut the TLC one off last week because it was quite bad.
Well,
but I'm not cutting this one off.
So do you want to do alternate songs, alternate verses or lines?
We could do alternate lines, cool. Maybe.
Who's going to get the Bono one?
The Bono one. With your name that sounds like a dark biscuit.
Bring this close to the mic.
It's Christmas time. There's no need to be... Oh, sorry, I've completely balls this up. Where you go?
At Christmas time, we let in light and we banish shade.
Oh, very nice. And in our world of plenty, spread a smile of joy.
Throw your... arms around the world at Christmas time.
But say your prayer and pray for the other ones.
At Christmas time, it's hard, but when you're having fun,
there's a world outside your window,
and it's a world of dread and fear,
where the only water flowing
is the bitter sting of tears.
And the Christmas bells that ring there
are the clanging chimes of doom.
Well, tonight, thank God, it's them instead of you. And there won't be snow in Africa this Christmas time.
The greatest gift they'll get this year is life.
Beautiful. Where nothing ever grows,
no rain or river flows.
All together now. Do they know it's Christmas time at all?
I always thought this bit sounds like Doctor Who.
Here's to you, raise a glass for everyone.
Here's to them underneath that burning sun. I wanted to do Dizzy Rascal's rap.
No, it's Christmas time at all. Nope, too early. Can't believe how bad I got that for opening verse. Feed the world, let them know it's Christmas time. Feed the world.
Look who's coming! Yeah. It's Laurie.
Feed the world, let them know it's Christmas time. Feed the world, let them know it's Christmas time. Feed the world.
Feed them.
Let them know it's Christmas time. Feed the world. Let them know it's Christmas time. Feed the world.
Can you fade out a karaoke track?
It's like another 20 seconds of this.
Watch me do it. I'm fading out.
World, let them know it's Christmas time again. World.
But there's that version where Tom York just starts hitting the piano. It's the best bit about that version. Just in case I didn't plug it enough in the actual main part of the show, you are audio listeners. You've got to go to WrestleTalk's YouTube channel and watch Chopper Pete's music video Punishment.
Do you think people are sticking around after us singing?
Oh, yeah, forgot about that.
Yeah, where I literally forgot how the first start of it goes. I remember, like, when that... It's when pray for the other ones. That is when I know how the song goes.
You did not know the cadence.
I did not at all. I completely forgot how it listened. And then I've listened to it again and I've forgotten it twice.
It's an iconic song.
It is. But I think I only remember it from pray for the other one. It's the only bit. From then on, I'm fine.
You don't remember Chris Martin opening up the 2004 or 5 one?
Who remembers Chris Martin?
I
don't even think Gwyneth Paltrow remembers who Chris Martin is. Forgettable idiot that he is.
People who just left a Coldplay concert don't remember who he is. Now, he seems to be like a very funny, witty guy.
I'm sure.
Have you ever seen any interviews?
It does not come across in his very bland music.
Yeah.
We've had a sort of a conversation recently about sort of boring bands that somehow made it famous. Coldplay are one of those bands.
Their first two albums were absolutely fantastic, and they had a couple of bangers off the second album.
Strong disagree.
Nobody said it was easy.
One ever said it wouldn't be this hard.
And he had to sing that whole song backwards.
Oh, of course, yeah, for the music video. Mm. Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, It was more impressive when, who was that? It was a rap group that did it in the mid-90s.
Oh, I know the one. It was the Beastie Boys, wasn't it?
No.
They're all going...
It was another one. Dang it, I can't remember what it's called now. It's, I think it's Drop, which the Beastie Boys do sample in Intergalactic. Anyway, this email comes in from Gerald. You should go check out Pete's video, though. This email comes in from Gerald.
Gerald.
I believe his name is Gerald Merrill.
No.
That's what the email says, Gerald Merrill.
That's got to be his own jovial nickname. No way anyone's parents had the surname Merrill and thought, maybe they were really rushed. Really rushed at the name desk where you've got to put down something for the birth certificate. Gerald?
I mean, Gary and Philip Neville's dad is called Neville.
Mm.
His name is Neville Neville.
You know the British Bulldog, Davy Boy Smith? The reason he's called Davy Boy Smith, well, legend has it, I don't know if this is true, is that his dad got confused when writing out the birth certificate and put boy next to Davy on the name bit.
Well, it was the Jason Manford joke about Neville Neville was that his dad, so it looked at it was like, oh, I'll put the last name in the first name bit. I'll just put Neville Neville, I'm sure it'll be all right. But anyway, this comes in from Gerald Merrill.
Gerald Merrill.
Who says, hey, Luke, as a big fan of WrestleTalk, I know you have waded through a lot of feedback recently to make changes to the channel.
Oh,
can't
God,
imagine how difficult and sometimes annoying that can be, so I wanted to send you, Ollie, and the gang some love.
Oh, thank you.
You guys are my favourite channel on YouTube, and I'm so appreciative of the thoughtful wrestling commentary, sense of humour, and care for your fans. So, thank you. I don't know if you hear that enough, but just in case you don't, thank you. You guys always brighten my day and honestly got me back into wrestling. Thank you for being you. Have a great holiday season. P.S. I didn't mind the camera cuts.
Where were you?
Where were you?
Well, thank you very much, Gerald Merrill. You also bring us a lot of joy just by having that name.
Well, you'll also appreciate Christopher Jenkins.
Leroy Jenkins.
Who you heard earlier in this show submit a crap gimmick. He says, hello to all the WrestleTalk lads. The Hammerman Infinite Crisis, Chris Jenkins here with a quick announcement. In my last Hammer email, I said I would let you know if I ever got inspired to make something for you again.
Ooh.
Well, boys, it happens. The Fiend match at TLC this weekend turned on a new creative fountain. A new WrestleTalk branded hammer is already under construction, and considering the decade is coming to an end, it seems fitting to say, out with the old, in with the new. I know you have very limited space in the studio, and I've really enjoyed seeing the hammers on set every week, but you have my artistic permission to toss out the old hammers for this new, more relevant hammer when it arrives. I'll let you know when I'm going to send it. Happy holidays and a happy new year. And he sent a teasing photo... of this. Sorry, I kicked your foot there.
Oh my God, it's some kind of mallet. Well, I am colour me excited.
Yeah.
And that would be the colour of yellow. I am a yellow ring with an arrow pointed to it.
Nice.
That's how excited I am.
Speaking of yellow circles, yellow rings and arrows, Chopper Pete Quinnell has become a bit of a master of the old yellow ring and arrow for all of our Christmas thumbnails.
I'm glad you're putting this out there, because if there's any heat now, we can just direct it at Pete.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's why we hired him, right?
Clickbait Pete.
Clickbait Pete. okay, well, let's have a couple of get-betters before we get out of here. This is from
nice way to close out the 20-teens.
That's what I thought. This is from Sam, who says, hi, Luke and Ollie. It was a genuine pleasure to meet both of you guys at the WrestleGate show in Nottingham the other weekend when sent this. And thank you, Luke, for letting me buy you a beer, unlike that dastardly heel who wanted to buy his own damn mini cheddars.
Those guys. Yeah, I was doing that thing where I didn't drink, which has failed spectacularly.
Yeah.
Everyone will be, glad to know.
Unsurprised to hear.
Turns out a sort of channel crisis can do that to you. But yeah, on that day I was being good in the heady days of October, and I had a packet of mini cheddars instead.
Mini cheds. It was a cracking show. Robbie X and Sean Custom being my match of the night. I mentioned to Ollie that I had a job interview in Nottingham coming up, and I'm glad to say...
I remember that, yeah.
I got the job.
Hey! So well
I will
done.
Be moving to Notts next month and luckily can attend future WrestleGate show as they're now be my local.
There's one tomorrow.
I hope to see you guys again at future shows, and once I start this new job, I will finally become a patron. Thank you for all the consistently bang average content you put out. WrestleGate's resident doctor, Sam Smith.
Oh, cheers, Sam Smith. That's good. The bit I'm most pleased about is the money coming to us. So think of that as the beer you never bought me, you cheap piece of Sam.
This one comes in from Martin, who says, "Hi Luke, how are you? Could you by any chance read this out in an episode you do with Ollie?" Oh, I should have saved it for a Laurie episode. Dang it. I'm not sure if you guys recall, but I emailed you back in February after you guys inspired me to declutter, talking about Marie Kondo and Luke selling off all of his DVDs. The reason I wanted to do this is because I wanted to move my wife, two kids, out of our two-bedroom flat into a bigger house. 9 months later, we finally moved into our three-bed house.
Hey.
The decluttering process really changed our mindset on how we looked after the flat and helped us sell it quickly and made moving easier. Mm. You guys have inspired me and kept me happy with your podcast through an extremely extremely stressful experience. I spent Sunday morning in my new lounge watching Full Gear, and I couldn't be happier. I don't have any nice pics of the house, but here's a picture of the kids not watching Full Gear with me, probably for the best as they're only five and one, and I don't want the big one throwing the little one into a barbed wire bed. Also, note the Pikachu N64, which
Pikachu!
I finally got a chance to dig out.
I had that one.
Yep. So
I got it. That was my N64.
Is his kids playing around, not watching
come
Full
on,
Gear.
Pay attention, five-year-old.
And there's the Pikachu N64, yes. The blue and yellow one.
Ah, oh, well done. For moving house, that's a Herculean task. I can't imagine how difficult it must be with tiny human people
Oof.
Who can't do anything.
Yeah, right?
Freeloaders.
Yeah. What are they going to do? Like, can you pick up that box? No, I'm five.
Can you help us out, please, one-year-old baby?
Yeah.
Oh, if you're going to be like that, we might leave you here. Oh, God. Yeah.
Well, now he's upset. I don't know why. And lastly, from our Get Betters, Jonathan Hedman says, "Hello, insert long list of names here of WrestleTalk personalities. I hope you're doing splendidly. I've been on a long rollercoaster of emotions over the last 3 years, which I won't get into all the boring details of, but suffice to say, it was awful. I gained a massive amount of weight during this time, somewhere in the ballpark of 200 pounds to get to approximately 450 pounds.
Wow.
Well, the last few weeks,
doubled.
Well, the last few weeks, I've been motivated to do something about it. I'm happy to say, with the help of my family motivating me and holding me accountable, I've now lost 54 pounds.
That's an amazing start.
I know I've got a long way to go, but I'm nowhere near where I was at the beginning of October. Keep on swafting, Jonathan, the Headmaster Headman.
If you can convert that to me in kilograms, I'll probably be even more impressed.
Sorry, let me try that now.
Or less impressed.
54 lbs to kg.
You've effectively lost a Andy Datsun. That's how much he weighs, I think.
Let's have a look. It's loading now.
Can I guess? 54 pounds.
It's in kilograms.
I'm gonna
That's where you
say
went, right?
25 kilograms.
Oh, 24.4.
Nice.
Look at you, Carol Vorderman over there. So thank you all for all of your emails over this past year.
And well done, well done, Jonathan, as well.
Indeed.
That's great work.
Absolutely indeed.
Keep it up, New Year's resolutions. You started at a good time. You've got a run-in to when everyone is going to be on that self-improvement kick anyway.
So this now marks the end of the second full year of the WrestleTalk podcast.
Wow.
Launched it in 2017, but it was like the middle of 2017. So we've now had two full years of this show, heading into our third. What are your thoughts?
Well, funnily enough, we were looking for alcohol before we came in here. And we found all our leftover things that we sign, the pictures of me and you. And I took it out and I was like, when was this taken? Because we look so much younger.
Yeah.
We worked out it was about 20 months ago.
Yeah.
I thought, we've aged a lot. But yeah, it's,
Time has been nice. A cruel mistress.
Yeah. What are your thoughts?
Well, I mean, I've enjoyed it. I've been enjoying all the conversations we've had with the Swaff Nation, all of the Get Betters, all of the... Remember wrestling confessions that we had when people were doing wrestling moves for a little while? Rusev Hayes, Poetry Corner for a little bit.
Poetry Corner, I forgot about that.
So, yeah, so I think it's been a fun old ride that we've had. 80% facts?
We had... I was talking to my lady partner. Luchador coming out on our show yesterday. What, like, I... I can't remember what I said, but I think I just said, that's amazing. He did it on our show. Look how great we are. When I should have, because she said, oh, did you congratulate him? I was like, I must have. So I'd also like to say congratulations to Luchador for you know, being brave enough to come out.
Indeed. Yeah. I mean, I think we just got wrapped up in doing the gay community.
The gay community.
Anyway, that is all we've got time for on this episode and this year, nay, this decade.
But there's loads of stuff.
Oh, yeah, there's loads of content coming up. And, good lord, like, it's almost too much. It's
I'm
like daily
on the
podcast.
Tuesday show. Yeah. Luke's on the Tuesday show after that.
Yeah.
So don't just stop refreshing the podcast feed.
Oh, no.
If anything, double down on re-listening to old episodes.
Yes.
And spread the word. We want 2020 to be our best year ever.
Indeed, we're really looking forward to pushing this in 2020. But until then, take care. I love you. Goodbye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.